Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Well, it's good to be with you. My name's Tom, and if I haven't had a chance to say hello to you, hello, welcome here today. If you want to learn to make something, what do you need? Shout it out. What do you need if you want to learn to make something?
Teacher.
Whoa. Ah! Teacher. What were some... YouTube. Did how many of you shouted YouTube right off the bat? Okay. Fair enough. Tools, read the manual.
Have an idea.
Have an idea? Yeah.
Motivation.
Yeah. Motivation, did you say? Yes.
An objective.
Materials.
Time.
Shout out louder.
Half a brain,
John, did you say? Only half. Well, I'm in luck then.
Motivation.
Patience. Yes, and all those things and more, especially if those things are beautiful things or complex things or special things or maybe difficult things, it requires all of that and more. So when Jesus told his followers to go and make disciples, might it be that we need some of those things we just shouted out? Yep, thank you, Joanne. Yes. I guess it was a rhetorical question. You're all thinking yes, right? In order to do what he said, we might need things like tools or patience or an idea or even half a brain or YouTube. Exactly. Well, for a few weeks now, for the month of September, we've been exploring how it is that we can help our friends find and follow Jesus. And I know you have all memorized this. You have this all nailed, but I'm going to recap it anyway. First, we looked at come and see. And our key word was to invite. That is, following the example of Jesus and the example of his first followers, we can issue no pressure come and see invitations for people to actually meet Jesus, to explore who he is, to find out more of what this Jesus lifestyle is about, who he is and what he's about, and inviting people to the Alpha course. Come and see, come and check it out. At least come to the first one on Wednesday night, October 1st at 6:30. You only have to come to that one. That's what I did for a few of my friends. Come and see is offered, and it's just an easy way to do that. And many of you have been doing that, I know. I've been hearing your stories. You're praying for people that you've issued invitations to come and see, and you're not too late to do that, as you already heard. Well, second, we heard Jesus call some of his first followers to follow him and learn to fish for people. And the key word there was that we initiate. That is, as we're following Jesus ourselves, as we're learning about who Jesus is, as we're learning to follow his ways, as we're being taught about how to obey Jesus, we also then can initiate Jesus conversations with the people around us, people at work, people in our families, our own kids in our home, where whoever it might be. We can initiate conversations about Jesus. We can ask curious questions. We can engage in meaningful dialogue. Again, Alpha is an incredible setting for that, but we want to be doing that throughout our daily lives. Last week, we looked at how we can stay and tell. And the key word there was illustrate. That is, we can tell our own Jesus story and through our story illustrate the grace and the mercy of Jesus, which helps people consider who Jesus is. And maybe in a way that they could not have done if they had just been presented an argument about Jesus or if they've just read a book. But somehow when they see it alive in your life and they hear the story in your life of how Jesus impacted you, there's a huge difference it makes. I was very grateful when we gathered around our men's campfire on Friday night. Brendan told us his story, and I'm very thankful for that, because through his story, we heard God's grace, powerfully at work. And we were all moved to follow Jesus more. And I don't know if everyone around that fire is even a follower of Jesus, but they heard illustrated in Brandon's life the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Well, today, for the final of our four, we're looking at Jesus' command that we go and make. That is, we go and make disciples. And we have two key words to top it all off, which is include and instruct. This fourth way that we help people find and follow Jesus, of course, comes right out of what is called the Great Commission. The last words that Jesus spoke, he had risen from the dead. He had hung around for a bunch of weeks and telling people and showing people that he was alive. And just before he leaves, just before he ascends to the right hand of his Father, he commissions his followers to continue, to go and make disciples of all the nations. Here's the passage from Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, this is a very well-known passage. And most churches will point to this Great Commission as their core reason for existence, their core mission, the thing that we're all on about as his church. We want to do that in everything that we do. So let's take some notes on this together and then dive into some of the implications. You might want to write this down, or you might just want to listen really well because I know your memories are so sharp. First, I hope you noticed how Jesus began and ended his Great Commission. He began with his supreme authority. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not some authority, not a little bit of authority, not authority in some areas, but not in others. All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. He is the Lord of all, vested with complete authority over everything. And this is crucial for us to grasp it as his followers. It's crucial for us to grasp it, not only because the commission we're being given is coming from the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So we better obey it. But also, it means that this commission he's giving, it's backed by him. So we've been authorized by him to go and to make. We aren't making disciples in our own authority or in our own power or because we thought it was a good idea or in our own name. No, we have been sent by the Lord of heaven and earth. This is his idea. This is his plan. This is his desire, his pursuit. And we are simply agents of this supreme king. We are just servants of the Lord of all. And there are times where we wonder, really, Lord, you really think we can do this? Have you ever looked around and wondered? I have. When I look in the mirror, I wonder. But he gave it to us. This is his idea. And then he ends his commission with his promise of presence. "I am with you always to the very end of the age." This promise to be with us, empowering us by his Holy Spirit, is a promise of power that we will be his witnesses, as he says then in Acts 1:8. We'll be his witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on us. We'll be his witnesses right from right where we are, right to the ends of the earth, right to the ends of the age. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus, the Supreme Lord, has promised to be with us in this commission as we make disciples of all nations. So taken together, supreme authority and empowering presence gives us complete confidence in this commission. Jesus will see it through. He will see through the making of disciples through his authorized, empowered people. And whatever else we uncover now about the whole go and make, we need to remember it sits within these borders. It's encircled by his authority and his presence. Second note we want to make. Based on his authority, empowered by his presence, Jesus now tells his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. That is, he says this to a group of people who up to that point are exclusively Jewish followers. Jesus commissions them to expand beyond their own. I don't think they were thinking that. We never think that. We always only think of our own. They're being commissioned to expand beyond their own. Yes, of course they're to make disciples of their own people, and they do that. And over the next number of weeks and months, thousands and thousands of people from the Jewish nation come in to follow Jesus, become a follower of their Messiah. But they're not to just go or only go to their own people, their own tribe, their own family, their own language, their own town. Jesus is commissioning his people to extend out beyond borders, beyond barriers, to learn new languages and go to new cultures, to make disciples of all nations and fulfill God's plan from day one. His plan from day one, which is that he would have a people of all nations and all tribes and all tongues, all the earth. So notice, this going beyond and making disciples of others, whoever those others might be for you or for us, Jesus explicitly commands this and he expects this. As I said last week, Christianity is a missionary movement from day one, and it continues to be today. We are always being called to cross a border of some kind. Whether that means going or sending people to make disciples in Ecuador or Haiti or Democratic Republic of Congo, or whether it means going, crossing some border, maybe inviting your Sikh or Filipino or Russian neighbor to come for coffee or to come for Alpha, we make disciples of all nations. The third note is where we're getting deeper into the weeds here. So, not the weeds, the meat. Weeds would suggest that's not the main thing. The meat. Making disciples breaks down into two phases. That's where our two key words come from. First phase, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism into the triune name of God is the way that we include people in Christ as new family members in his body. Baptism is the way in. It indicates a new beginning of a forgiven, redeemed life with Jesus. Baptism is only the end of the journey to Jesus, you could say. But it's the very beginning, the start of a whole new life with him that goes on for eternity. Baptism is the burial of the old person and the resurrection of the new. It's the cleansing from sin and identification with Jesus and with his church. It's a witness to the world that you have a new allegiance to a new Lord. It's a declaration to everyone that you're now under new management. So let me just pause for a minute and ask you, have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Some of you have been exploring Jesus long enough now. It's time to make the deal official and get baptized. To actually be included in Christ through baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so for some of you, maybe it's time for you to, you know, go up to the altar, as it were, and get married to Jesus through baptism. And if that's you, I encourage you to talk to me about it, and we'll make plans. Baptism, then, is the culmination, you could say, of these first three things we've talked about. It's the culmination of all the come and see invitations. It's the culmination of all these initiated Jesus conversations. It's the culmination of all these illustrations we've given from our own lives, illustrations of God's grace, right up to the point where people have actually met Jesus and they want to follow him. And they're ready, and they're coming to receive his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his new life for themselves. And they're being baptized into Christ as one of his family members. But making disciples doesn't end with including people through baptism. That's the end of one phase. Sometimes that phase is really long, sometimes it's really short, but that's the end of one phase. It's the beginning of the next one, a much bigger phase. Focused now on instructing people in the ways of Christ. Having been included as a new member, now they're being instructed on how to follow. Or as Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, as you can well imagine, this second phase of disciple making is a process that can really stretch out. Depending on each person, depending on their background, depending on their struggles, depending on their just a whole variety of things, their willingness to learn to follow Jesus. It's also the phase that's most often overlooked or ignored or assumed by the rest of the church. We think once they're included, somehow they'll figure it out after that. If we just kind of cheer them on or something. But that's not quite how it happens. In fact, Jesus was very explicit that we move on to the next phase in teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching people who are now alive in Christ how it is that they are to obey Christ requires a massive rewiring by the Holy Spirit. A rewiring by the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ and under the authority of Scripture. And where is it exactly that people will need to learn to obey Jesus? Well, you name it. People are going to need to learn, what does Jesus have to say, and what does it mean for me to follow Jesus and obey Jesus with my money? Or in my family relationships. When Jesus steps in to a marriage relationship, there is profound things that often have to change. Anyone want to shout an amen to that? Amen. It can be a struggle to be rewired around Jesus-style marriage, for example. Jesus-style brother and sister relationships. Jesus-style relationships with your mom and dad or your estranged kids or whatever it might be. People need to learn to obey Jesus when it comes to their sexual practices or their identity. Well, how about power and the use of power? Or, not to put too fine a point on it, but how we think and act politically. Or what we assume about violence. All these things need to be rewired as we learn to obey what Jesus has told us about forgiveness and grace, about speaking the truth in love, about having integrity. As well as all of the obvious, like understanding who God is in contrast to the gods of this world. Having a Christian worldview that is in direct contrast to the kinds of worldviews that we are raised with that tell us what's important, tell us who's important, tell us how we should act. This is all being rewired by the Holy Spirit. As we pray, as we grapple with addiction. I mean, we could just go on and on, right? This process of learning, of instructing, of being taught how it is that we are to obey Jesus is going to touch every area of our lives. There's no exceptions. There's no area of your life that it doesn't touch. And so it's a process of letting the Holy Spirit rewire us within the body of Christ and under the authority of Scripture. And on top of all of that, there is the need for multiplication. That is, each disciple who's being taught to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us to obey, well, each one of us then needs to learn how to actually make a disciple and serve in a church that is making disciples. And it's interesting to me how the very thing that Jesus is telling us to do in that very moment, make disciples who obey my teaching, is often one of the things we most fail to do. I mean, how many disciples of Jesus have ever even made one disciple of Jesus? And unless we're making disciples, can we even admit to being a fully trained disciple ourselves? Jesus called all of his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, including them in his body and instructing them in his ways. So what are the implications for us? I feel like I should issue some disclaimers at this point. Some of you are going to be irritated with me today. Some of you might even be discouraged. I don't like discouraging people, but you might be. Some of you will just completely ignore what I'm saying and you'll feel great by coffee time. And then some of you will be very inspired today. And that's, I'm praying that most of you will be very inspired, but I acknowledge not everyone will be. Let me bare my heart to you. I've been grappling with this for a long time. What kind of failure would I be as your pastor if I cared for you and I taught you the Bible and I encouraged you and I walked with you all these years? We've walked together and I hope we'll walk together still. But I failed to teach you to do the one thing Jesus said we're all to be doing, which is making disciples. What kind of a failure of a pastor would I be? Someday I have to stand in front of Jesus and account for what I do with you, for how I teach you and lead you. And that kind of frightens me, to be honest. What kind of failure would I be as your pastor if I myself am not actively making disciples? And I don't just mean from the front, folks. I'll be getting into that. I don't mean what I'm saying up here. I mean in my daily life that I'm actually leaning in and making disciples of Jesus. I don't want to be that kind of failure. I don't want to be a failed pastor as a result of having come to the end of a long and illustrious career as a pastor. Coming up on 30 years now. But have I really been making disciples? Or have I just been, I don't know, coddling and comforting and encouraging and doing good stuff? But am I making disciples? That's the question. So I want to cut through some of the misconceptions that I've been grappling with. You might have been grappling with or not, and now you are. And I want to teach you to obey this command of Jesus. And if you're irritated with me at the end, or you are even a little angry with me, or you think I wasn't fair, or whatever, too bad. So what is disciple making not, and what is it? First, disciple making is not a mysterious undertaking. It's helping people know Jesus and do what he said. Baptizing people into Christ and teaching them his ways is not some esoteric, strange, difficult to grasp, complex behavior. It's simple and straightforward. It's the work that we do with others as we all follow Jesus together. And sometimes when we see disciple making, we act like it's a big black box that no one really knows what's in. It's kind of like AI these days, you know. No one really knows what's happening in there. And they don't, by the way, but that's another subject. You know, no one really knows what's going on, but look at it, it's occasionally popping out a disciple. That is not discipleship. Disciple making is something that each and every follower of Jesus can do, and it's done in a straightforward way. We regularly meet with someone who's newer in Christ than us. We talk about our life as Jesus followers. We open up the Bible and we learn it together, and then we pray and support one another. That's it. That's what you do. If you do that regularly with someone newer in Christ than you, you will be making a disciple. The Holy Spirit will use you. Done. Right? That's it. That's all you need, actually. That literally is all you need. If you feel like you've got everything you need today, right there, feel free to get up and leave. We will have a great song in the end, but, you know. But it's true. It's simple and straightforward. It's not some mysterious undertaking. Two, disciple making is not a specialist activity. It's regular Christians helping newer Christians follow Jesus. I just said that, didn't I? I just said the same thing. Well, it's because I want to emphasize it, I guess, and I'm trying to figure it out myself. Disciple making is not assigned to some specific people in the congregation, and the rest of us just do other things. And it's definitely not assigned to just the pastor. It's for everyone. What's more, while it is the mission of the whole church, it's the mission of the Erickson Covenant Church, and we're committed to making disciples in what we do through our various corporate programs and worship, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually a mission that we as the church are engaged in when we're out there, when we're not together, when we're in each other's homes, or we're at our businesses, or we're meeting in a school, or we're connecting with someone that we haven't seen for a while. Every one of us who follow Jesus has been assigned this role. It's literally there, right under your name, what you're supposed to be doing as you follow Jesus. Disciple making is regular Christian activity. Three, disciple making is not an optional task. It's a non-negotiable mandate Jesus gave everyone. And I literally repeated the one in there. I saw that later. Gave everyone one of his followers. Every one of his followers. Somewhere along the way, disciple making slipped from our vision and became something that some people do sometimes. And we're thankful when disciples are made. We're not sure how it happened, but boom, there's a disciple. Right? Well, how did that work? Wow, and we're thrilled. But it slipped from our vision, from our intentionality. And Robert Coleman, the author of the classic little book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, and a relentless discipler himself, he would often ask not only pastors like me, but everyday followers of Jesus, he would ask them this question: what's your excuse for not following the final command that the Lord Jesus gave us? What's your excuse for not following the final command that the Lord Jesus gave us? Do you feel that? Is anyone feeling that right now? Because I am. Four, disciple making is not an academic program. It's life on life coaching in the ways of Jesus. We often fall prey to the idea, so this is really, really, pastors do this, churches do this. We fall prey to the idea that disciple making means reading a certain book or doing a certain course. And while there is helpful content to be shared through courses and books and various curriculum, disciple making in itself is, at its core, it's life on life. Maybe one person with another person, sometimes one person with two people. It's way less about a certain study or program. It's so much more about following Jesus together. And guides can be helpful, no doubt about that. But nothing replaces this simply meeting with someone to coach them in the ways of Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit lead you, learning together, doing that regularly. Number five, disciple making is not naturally occurring. It requires intentionality, perseverance, and scheduling. You actually have to use your calendar. It's easy to think that we're making disciples when really we're just busy with Christian ministry. And that is the trap that churches fall into, that Christians fall into. A lot of churches and Christians think they're making disciples. And if you ask them, are you making disciples? They will point out at various activities that they're doing together, various outreaches they're doing together. All good things, but not necessarily making a disciple. Here's the deal. Unless we're engaging people intentionally and teaching them to follow Jesus, we're likely not making many disciples. We never drift toward discipleship as people or as a church. Disciple making is concrete, and it's seen in the actual growth and development of people. Growth in numbers of people, like more people are following Jesus. Growth in the vibrancy of their faith. But also growth in more people actually discipling more people. So launching more disciple makers. If the disciples we make don't go on to make more disciples, then we never made an obedient disciple in the first place. Number six. Disciple making is not human powered. It's a divine partnership between God and his people, and it's powered by the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is the commission that Jesus gave us. Each and every one of you who are followers of Jesus, you have this commission. He will not let you off the hook. You're required to do this. You are called to do this. You've been empowered to do this. It's yours. It's ours. But his promised presence and his promise to send his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us is the power that is at work when we are making disciples. We're called to fully engage this commission of Jesus, but doing it knowing that we can do nothing in and of ourselves. As Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing, right? We have to be plugged into Jesus. We have to be abiding in Jesus. We have to be communing with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we're not connected to Jesus and filled by the Holy Spirit, whatever we do will not bear fruit. Making disciples is a work of God through us as we operate under the authority of Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, what more can I say? Really, the question just remains for us today. Will we obey Jesus? Will I obey Jesus? Will we take this commission of Jesus to heart and ask, Jesus, help me make a disciple. Help me make a disciple this year. Jesus, who are you calling me to walk with this year? Who around me is asking questions? Who around me perhaps hasn't even come to follow Jesus yet? Maybe they're the person I've invited to Alpha. I don't know. But who are you calling me to walk with this year? Are there skills that I need to learn? What are the hurdles I need to get over? What's stopping me? What has been stopping me from being obedient to this very last command that you gave to us? Will we take this Jesus commission to heart and ask, Jesus, help me make a disciple? That's the question. And if that's you, let me close with this. If you are willing to make a disciple, if you're willing to be a disciple maker, the first thing we need to do is repent from our disobedience. To say, Lord, I have been distracted by many things. I have been doing Christian stuff, maybe. I've been serving here, busy with this, pursuing this, but I've been ignoring this very significant commission that you've given to us. I've been ignoring this last thing, and I need to repent from being disobedient to you. You told us to make disciples. I haven't been making disciples. It's time to make disciples. So we repent from our disobedience. And we submit ourselves to Jesus' authority and ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We take seriously his authority and his promise of presence. And so we say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm resubmitting myself to be someone operating under your authority and filled with your Holy Spirit to do this thing that you have called us to do. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you who it is that you need to include and or instruct, depending on where that person's at. And if you don't know what to do, and you're not sure how this is going to work, and you feel really hesitant or uncertain, join the club. That's okay. It's totally fine to look at a project and realize, I do not have what it takes to do this. That's why we all go to YouTube, right? Or we ask a friend. Or we buy a book. Or we get a plan. I get it. So the important thing today is to say, I am going to submit to the authority of Jesus. Excuse me. And I'm going to cough. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to learn to obey. If I don't know what to do, then I'm going to ask a Christian friend to help me. I'm going to ask someone to disciple me. I'm going to recognize in my own life, I have never been taught how to obey this. I actually have not been fully discipled. I actually need to learn this. So I'm going to go find an older Christian. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees. I'm going to beg them to disciple me. And guess what you might find? They might say, but I've never discipled anyone before. And you say, great, after you're finished repenting from your disobedience, you can help me. We'll learn together. We want to ask Jesus to make disciples through us. And so if you're willing, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just only pray this with me if you mean it. If you don't, just listen. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you today asking that you would make disciples through us. And the first thing we do, Lord Jesus, is we want to repent from our disobedience. Somewhere along the way, we got distracted. Somewhere along the way, we forgot. But that is no excuse. Somewhere along the way, we thought we were teaching others to obey. We thought we were making disciples, but we weren't. And so we repent from being disobedient disciples. And we ask that you would correct that in us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you don't hold that against us. In fact, you're thrilled. And so we resubmit ourselves to your authority and ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can actually fulfill this commission that you've given to us. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal to us who it is that we need to be discipling, who it is that we need to be including, who it is that we need to be instructing. The areas in our lives where we ourselves need to be included or instructed. Reveal that to us, Holy Spirit, so that we can be the disciple-making followers of Jesus that we are called to be. Jesus, we simply ask that you would make disciples through us. We ask that you would use us in our daily lives, in our homes with our own children, among our family members, the people that we're comfortable with, the people we know, but also, Lord, that you would call us to go and make disciples across those borders, whether that's a fence of a neighbor, down the road that we live on, or even moving out to different ethnicities, different language groups, people that we're typically uncomfortable with, that we would be people who are willing to go and make disciples. Lord Jesus, we simply want you to make disciples through us, empowering us by your Spirit. It's the commission you've given us, and so we stand here today, repentant and ready, asking for you to do in us and through us what you want to do. And we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.